The shir should be Leilu Nishmas.
I think it's a 14th, 13th Yom Tzadon Ha'ar.
Yeah.
In English, it has Elro Yizid Uchanaguna, Bach, Mordechai Rachel.
Okay. Here we are. We're still stuck in Gemara Brachos, which is a good place to be stuck. Our second round of Shas. And the past two times we've done kind of tefillah, so it's like pure tefillah. So this time we'll go a bit towards the bracha part. And we are going to look at the beginning, the very, very beginning of the seventh perek of Brachos, which the entirety of the perek deals with. Anybody know what the seventh parak? You kind of get it, right? Within the first, yeah, with the Zimun, with the concept of Zimun. The sixth parak, Ketzad Mevarchin, deals with brachos on various foods, right? Basically, the Gemara brachos up until the sixth parak is all about tefillah. And then the sixth, seventh, eighth, and kind of like the ninth is just kind of an anomaly, it's just weird stuff. But that's like brachos, so it's organized in that fashion. So now we're in the brachos section. And the first Mishnah on Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph, so I'm on the first side of the page, says as follows: Shlosha Shach. We're really only going to read like one line from the Mishnah, and then we're going to go into the Bracha, the Gemara. Shlosha Shach Lukachas Chayav in Lezamin. Three people who eat together have to make a zimun. Obviously, we're talking about eating bread.
Men.
Eating bread. The rest of the Mishnah deals with different kinds of food, not different food stuffs, but rather different types of bread, like achal d'mayu ma'aser rishon shnat latrimaso ma'aser sheni v'hekdesh shniftu. Different types of food that have various kinds of isurim attached to them. There's two parts of the rest of the Mishnah. One part describes very low level isurim on which you can do a zimun, and the other part is going to describe a little bit of a worse food that you can't do a zimun on, but I don't want to read them inside because that's not really our inyan right now. Just the end of the Mishnah, if you thought we were only talking about men, the end of the Mishnah says, Nashim v'avadim v'ktamim ein mezamdin alein ad kama mezamdin ad kezayis or behudom ad kebeitza. So it says that in fact, for women and slaves, which was just different categories of people at the time, you don't do a zimun with them. This is going to be challenged when we get to the Gemara. For those of you familiar with the actual halacha with regard to women with zimun, it's going to be a little bit more murky. But we'll wait till we get in the Gemara. Now we're going to jump into the Gemara. Okay, we established that three people who are eating together. I told you it was bread. It didn't actually say that in the Mishnah, but you'll have to take my word for it right now, at least. Three people who are eating bread, when they make the Birkat HaMazon, they must do a zimun. Now, we don't know yet what a zimun is. Nor do we know where this din comes from. Right? The Mishnah doesn't say anything about it. So that's up to... If the Mishnah doesn't say anything about it, the first thing the Gemara is going to try to do is figure that out. Yep. So, minahani mili. Mem hei mem. Minahani mili. From where do we know that there is such a thing as zimun? Amar avasi damar kwa. Gadul Hashem iti unanur mama shma yachdav. Right? So this is a pasuk in Devarim. Gadul Hashem iti unanur mama shma yachdav. How does this establish that there's a mitzvah of zimun? How is this supposed to get us anywhere?
Yachdav,
okay. You have to take us a little bit further.
That, the whole sentence is a zimun.
Why? Tell me.
Gadul Hashem iti. The whole lashon is let's get great or...
You're getting close. How many people are mentioned in this pasuk?
Three.
Why?
Gadul means one person talking to another two.
Good, excellent. Gadul Hashem iti. Unuramash mayachdav.
Why iti? Why not?
Three.
Iti, because I'm
saying
to another two.
Rashi does say this. That's exactly what Rashi says. Hayachid omer lishnayim. So that's how you know that there are three. Alternatively, there's another pasuk that could also be learned from Rabbi Abo Amar Mehacha. From what's hacha?
Yeah.
Here, from here, as opposed to hatam, which is there. Mehacha kishem Hashem ekra havugodul Eloheinu. Somebody take a stab. How do you learn it from this pasuk? It's the same principle, right?
Yeah.
Kishem Hashem ekra havugodul Eloheinu. Havu is plural, so I am calling out, and I'm asking you to also do it with me. So that's the principle that you're going to have three people involved in the zimun. That's the idea that when you have three chayavim lezamin. This is going to, we're going to just do this part quickly because it gets us out of the Zimun phase. How do you know that when you say Amen, you shouldn't say it louder than the person who said the original bracha? This is just the general principle. It's learned also from this pasuk that the first person saying Gadu Lashamiti, that I guess that he is the one who's supposed to be the primary person, and you're just supposed to be along with me. It used to be that when they would read the Torah, right, so it wouldn't be just one person reading the Torah, there would be one person reading, and then there would be the Vitar game, the person who would basically say Unkelus. This still exists, by the way. In Taimani shuls, they still do this. I've never witnessed it.
They're like a little kid doing it.
Exactly. I've never witnessed it, but apparently this is still done. But the Matar game has to be careful not to speak louder than the Baal Kore. Shneamar Moshe Yidaber V'Elohim Yanenu Bakol. It's a different pasuk for that. That Moshe talks and Hashem answers. Fine, you know, we can skip past this part and jump down to the two dots over there. Right before the first wide line. Itmar. What's Itmar, by the way? What is it? Itmar, an indication that we're about to hear?
Question.
What?
Question.
No, Itmar is not a question.
It was a statement.
By whom? No, it's not a contradiction. It's not a question. It's a much more innocuous than that. A statement by? No. As opposed to a Tana, which would be Tana Rabbanan or Matnitin. Itmar means... We have an Amoraic statement. Itmar shnayim shachlu ka'achas pligi Rav v'Rav Yochanan. Now that's a little bit unfair because Rav actually they say might have been like a Tana, but Rav Yochanan is definitely an Amora, and Rav is also really an Amora. So the Mishnah had said shnayim shachlu. Sorry, the Amoraim say shnayim shachlu ka'achas. What happens when you have two people eating together? In other words, Avi and I we go out and we have a bite to eat of bread. So what do we do there? Rav Yochanan pligi. Pligi means they argued. They split, basically. Chad Amar, one of them said, Im ratzu lezamin mezamnin. V'chad Amar, Im ratzu lezamin ein mezamnin. So one of them was of the opinion that two people can, it's permissible, if they would like, they can make a zimun. And the other one said,
no.
Im ratzu lezamin ein mezamnin. No, even if they wanted to make a zimun, they wouldn't be allowed to. Tanan, Shlosha Shah. So now, obviously, these Amorayim had this argument, and we want to try to come up with some kind of conclusion about who is right. So the Gemara is going to spend a little bit of time. I don't want to get stuck on this because there's more to do. It's trying to spend a little time of figuring out who is right and how we can figure it out. So the first thing the Gemara says, quote a Mishnah. Tanan, there's two nuns, so you know it's a Mishnah. The difference between when the Gemara quotes a Mishnah and when it quotes a Braisa is how many nuns. If there's one nun, like Tanya, that's a Braisa. If there's two nuns, like Tanan or Matinitin, so that's a Mishnah. Tanan, Shlosha Shachlu Kachas, Chayavin Lezamin, Shlosha In, Shnaimo? Okay. Our Mishnah said, three people who eat, make a Zimun. Three people, not two. What would you say to this? Is this a good proof or not a good proof?
It's a good proof.
Why is it? What's the proof?
It says three, because if it was two, then it would say two. Right.
So can anybody think of something that would blow this proof up?
It doesn't say not two.
Ah.
So it's three.
Very good, right? Even whoever it is who is of the opinion that you're allowed to do it at two,
it say you can't
he just
two.
Says, you don't have to. He just says you can, right?
Otherwise,
and that's exactly what the Mishnah says. Exactly. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. The Gemara is going to say. The Gemara says... No, hatam chova hacharishus. What are you bringing in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that three people have to. It doesn't say that two people can't. Tashma. Oh, so now we have tashma. Now we have another attempt at a proof. Shlosh shachlu kachas chayev lezamin ve'ein rishayim lichalik. This is not our Mishnah. This is going to be probably a Tosefta. No, this is going to be from a Gemara later, probably from a Braisa. Shlosh shachlu kachas chayev lezamin ve'ein rishayim lichalik. They're not allowed to split. They added in that they're not allowed to split, right? So when you look at this, what's anomalous about this statement?
With two, they could split, or they could do it together.
No, let's just look at the statement on its own merits. What's strange about this statement? If you were a Talmudist, right, and you're looking at this,
tautologist.
It's tautologist. That's a good. That's a good word. Tautologist. That's good. I would have said it's redundant, right? Basically, no. Tautologist doesn't mean redundant.
I didn't know. You just translated.
It's also tautologist. You're right. Tautologist means if I'm a dog, I'm a dog. You just said the same thing twice because the first statement was identical to the same statement, and that it's different than redundant. It's, if I'm a dog and I'm not a cat. I'm a dog and I'm not a cat. Of course you're not a cat if you're a dog. So over here, of course, if three people have to make a zimun, of course they can't break up. That's the point of making a zimun. So what would you learn from this? So obviously...
Maybe they could not make a zimun.
Well, that, I would have learned that just from Shlosha Sheya Achlu Ka'achas Chayav in the Zamin, wouldn't I? So obviously there's something being taught in the redundancy. So the Gemara says, yeah, here again, Shlosha in Shnaim Lo. So they say three can and two can't. And if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Shlosha in Shneim Lo. Okay, he says Hachi Perusha Demitani Ein Rishayin Lachalek Shmamina De Shlosha Mezamdin Shneim Ein Mezamdin. In other words, the second half of the statement is the one that teaches you that three people can't split. That's for sure what it teaches, because that's what it says. In which case, what does the first half of the statement teach you? Shlosha shachlu ka'achas chayev nizamen. What does that teach you?
Not to.
Shlosha in shnaim lo. In other words, only the second statement is needed to tell you that three people can't split. So what do you need the first statement for? To tell you that two people cannot make a zimun. You need three. Very good. So the Gemara says, okay, but hold on. Shani hasam. No, that's not good enough. The kavaluhu b'chova meikara. What?
It's different there.
Shani Hatam, yes, means it's different there. Dekavulu chova meikara. Look at Rashi. Again, Shani Hatam, dekavulu chova meikara. V'azil hu mifkad lu chova. V'kamalu b'rishus. V'gadol mitzvah v'osa mimisha'enu mitzvah v'osa. You say that, okay, that's a little bit different over there, because if one of them leaves, in other words, I might have said, no. Two people can make a zimun. But if you have three, that's better than two, because three is a chova, and two, everybody agrees, is only rishus. So maybe that's only coming to tell you that three is a chova, and that's why you can't even have one of them leave and still do a zimun. In other words, you might have thought, fine, you can't break up completely. There needs to be a zimun. But maybe one of them could leave and the other two can make a zimun, because anyways, that's good enough, right? So no, three is better, and therefore you have to keep three. So we have no proof that two can't do a zimun. Find another one. Tashma Hashem Meshaya Meshaya Meshal Shnayim Hareza Ochel Imahem Afapi Shelo Natnu Lo Rishus Shelo Natnu Lo Rishus. If a servant was serving to two other people, he can eat with them even if they don't let him. Hayim Meshaya Meshal Shlosh Hareza Eno Ochel Imahem Elim Ken Natnu Lo Rishus. If he was serving three people, then he can't. So what's the implication? Again, let's look at Rashi. Again, the din was that if you have a shamish and he's serving people, if he's serving two people, he can eat with them even if they didn't tell him that he could. But if you have three people, he's serving three people, then he can't. He can't just crash their meal. Why? Rashi says, because if there are only two people, then great, he'll jump in and he'll complete the zimun. But if you already have three, they don't need him. So that's chutzpah for him to go in.
Definitely, the zimun itself is more important than the obligation on him as an individual.
What do you mean?
The fact that there will be a zimun, if there's three people eating, he cannot join them. So the fact that he won't participate in the zimun,
he's not
concerned about that.
No, yeah. Right. It's more of the chefta of zimun that we want to happen.
He can't join them because of a status thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's not polite. In the certain, in that,
if there was another diner sitting next to them,
he could, if they would, I think anyways they would have to allow him to sit. That's
doesn't
the idea.
The Mishnah say that you can't though?
The Mishnah?
The Mishnah says that Avodim can't.
Oh, this is a shamish.
Wait, is no,
Evid is a status. A shamish is just a job.
Okay.
This is a waiter, right? Not the halachic slave.
Why is it considered rude? Apologies.
It was rude. It's rude. The guy's a waiter. The waiter, you're sitting at a restaurant in Four Seasons, and the waiter says, you don't mind if I sit down and join you? So
the idea of joining
is coming in Australia. It's coming in Australia.
You can't relate.
I mean, it's an interesting case where halacha is basically overruling social status.
Yes, yes. It says ein kan gava denichalu d'maiti luhuli dizim. But I don't want to get stuck in this. But apparently, it's some element of gaiva if the waiter oversteps his bounds.
Is that common something that halacha would overrule a social status?
I can't say.
Is this way of eating, or is just some way of joining to make the zimun?
He's going to join. He's going to eat with them. He's going to eat with them so that they can do the zimun.
Wasn't this before? The plate of chips is full before it got chopped. Before we left the kitchen and got your table, it was awful.
Seems to be even more than that, though. It seems to be a chiv on him to join them. Like, they're not giving him permission to join them, or is it that they didn't give him permission from the beginning to join him?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's an interesting expression to say, shalom, not nu lo reshut. Like, if they wanted to make a zimun, they'd give him permission to come and join them anyway.
So I think what Rashi is trying to get across is that the idea is that it's not up to them whether or not they want to make the zimun. They need to make the zimun because it's a mitzvah.
He has some part to play within their meal.
Right.
And therefore you could kind of imply that he's eating them.
He needs to eat with them. He still needs to eat something with them. He can't just join in. He needs to eat with them.
But this is going beyond the Mishnah. The Mishnah just said if three people happen to eat together, they make a zimun.
This is not the Mishnah. This is...
We're saying if they were three people, the third person, they didn't really want him to join, we force them to accept him, so you should make a zimun.
Yes.
So somehow a zimun is a good thing, where before we said it was like a neutral thing. If you have three, you eat. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah. This is adding on that there's an extra mitzvah. We saw that in the previous one also, the idea that there's a big difference between three and two, even if two is something. Well, the point over here is that this is meant to be a proof that what? That two is nothing.
Is nothing.
Two is nothing, because if it was something, they wouldn't need the shamash to jump in.
I like what Mir is saying, that you can kind of look at a lot of the argument between two and three is to go whether it's something that's actually good to do or whether it's something you have to do.
Perfect. So what's the rejection of this proof? It's similar to the rejection of the first proof. What's the rejection? Exactly what Avi is saying, right? Elim cannot do the rishus. Shani hasim. No, it's not a good proof. Denichalu de mikvalu b'chova. Because everybody, again, agrees that two people is not a chova. So even if the shamish, right, even if the shamish is looking at two people and they might be able to make a zimun, they should still let him in. Why?
Because it's better.
Because it's better to have three than it is to have two. Better. Once they hit three, then there's nothing. Once they hit three, apparently, there's nothing more to be gained. That's actually strange, because they're really, according to the Gemara at least, there might be something to be gained, but I don't want to go into that. There's a difference between three and four also, but we don't really do that nowadays. Okay, so it actually is kind of left over here a little bit in the air. If you look back... you'll see that there's a little. Actually, there's no Rambam over here. Needless to say, two people cannot make a zimun, but it's not concluded over here. But let's keep going in the Gemara. This is an important line. Tashma. Nashim mezamnos la'atzman v'avadim mezamnim la'atzman. Right, women do make a zimun, just like avadim do make a zimun, but only by themselves. But if you have women and slaves together, they don't make a zimun together. And the Gemara Kedivah says, "V'hamei nashi ketrei gavri damyan." And if you have 100 women, they're going to be like two men. What does that mean exactly? What does that mean? Exactly. It means, look at Rashi, "Lenyan chova dein chayav esazamin v'imratzu mezamin v'hodin l'shnayim." In other words, you could have 100 women; it would only reach the status of the theoretical two men.
That's right? Implying that it's two.
If you assume that way.
That two's a reshus still. Carrying on the same discussion, in essence.
Right.
Because it's saying 100 women is still only like two men. The whole discussion here is two okay or not?
Yeah, we're still continuing the discussion. We are. You're right. The Tashma is still continuing that discussion. So it says v'hamei nashi ketrei gavri damin v'ktani nashi mezamnos la'atzman v'avadim mezamnin la'atzman. So they say, oh, look, it's just like having two, right? So this is actually a proof the other way. This is almost a proof to say that two people is good.
There's
a shus. At most there's a shus, but that it's good that you can do it. So shani asim deika deos. So he said, no, that's not proving anything like that. It's just... hold on one second. Okay. You know what? We're going to stop there for a second. We're going to stop there for a second because I don't want to miss out on the other stuff before we get to the rest of the Makorot. And it's already 9 o'clock. And I want to jump ahead. To the two dots about three quarters of the way down, Amar Rava. There's a little Zion over there. See it?
Yeah.
You guys see it? Amar Rava. Amar Rava. Amar Rava. Hamilta Amrita Ana Vitamra Mishmei de Rabbi Zeira. I said something, and it's said in the name of Rabbi Zeira. Kavati. It's Rabbi Zeira says the exact same thing. Shlosh Hashachu Kachas Echad Mafsik Lishnayim. Right? This is a common case, actually. Right? If three people are eating together, and two of them want to bench now, so what? The one person who's not ready to bench has to stop and do the zimun with them. Right? I have a brother who, you know, God bless his soul, he's never finished eating when everybody else has finished eating. So I've actually never seen him bench with a zimun. I've never in my life seen him bench with a zimun, because he'll always stop eating and wait for the first bracha and then go back to eating because he's not done. So this case, they make him, they force him, right? Shlosh shachlu kachas, echad mafsik lishnayim, vein shnayim mafsikim leechad. Velo is, but the flip side is, two people can't be forced by one person to stop. In other words, if you have three people eating and one of them has a meeting and he wants to leave and he's asking you to stop, you don't have to stop for him. You don't have
you
to
can,
stop
but
him.
You can.
Ah, so the Gemara says, Velo? Don't they have to stop for him? Velo? V'harav papa, afsik leila abba marbere, iu v'chad. See, but it happened where Rav Papa stopped Abba Mar Berei and another person. I don't know who the other person is. So they say, no, Shani Rav Papa de Lifnei Mishur HaSadinu Da'avad Da'avad. That's different because he was acting with Lifnei Mishur HaSadin. In other words, you're right, you can stop, but you don't have to. It's just a matter of whether you can force him. Okay, but here's what I wanted to get to. Rav Yehuda Bar Marema, remember Rav Ashi Rav Acha Midifti, Karche Rifta Bahadeh Hadadeh. Yehuda bar Marimar, Mar bar Rav Ashi, and Rav Acha Midifti were Karche Rifta. What's Karche Rifta? Karche means to break. Rifta is bread. They're breaking bread. They're eating. They're eating bread. Karche Rifta habahadeh hadadeh. They're eating together. Lohava behu chad dahava muflag mechavrei levruchilu. What was wrong? They didn't have one person who was greater than the other. All three of them were on the same level in terms of Torah knowledge. And so they didn't have one, right? They wanted to give the Rabosai Nevarech to the one who was greatest. And they couldn't pick one. Hadit Yasir V'kav Mibayelu, Hadit Tanan Shlosh Shachlu Kachas Chayavin Lezamin, Hanimili Hecha Deik Adam Gadov, Hecha Dechi Hadad Eninu, Chiluk Brachos Adif. They thought maybe when is it the case that three people eat together and need to make a zimun? Maybe when you have someone to, you know, who's higher than everybody else to make the zimun, to do the rabbi sign of Arech. But if you don't, then maybe it's better to just split off and make brachas on your own. Okay, where do you draw this conclusion from? I'm not sure at the moment, and we're not really interested. What we're more interested in is the next line.
So that can relate to what we said before about the first bracha being loud, not the people who answer not being loud and the person who says.
Maybe it could relate to that. So the Gemara continues, says, Atu l'kame de maremar, amalu yide bracha, yitzatem, yide zimun, lo yitzatem. Very nice. You said brachat amazon, but you didn't do the mitzvah of zimun. So you're not yotzi that. V'chitemu nihader unizamein. So what did they want to do? They wanted to go back and do it again. They wanted to go back, say Rabbi Sain of Arech, and bench again. So you might think you could do that in Zimun L'Mafreya. You can't do that. There's no Zimun L'Mafreya. This is a very interesting statement. What's interesting about it? First of all, what's the Havamina here? Havamina means what's the initial thought? Meaning, what were they thinking? They were going to go back, they were going to bench again for the Zimun?
So what's happened then? They've done
separate. They yotzei Birkat HaMazon, they finished Birkat HaMazon.
I believe there's two separate chiyuvs. They think there's a mitzvah of zimun and a separate mitzvah of benching. Which means they could be yotzei day the chiyuv of benching separately, each one on its own.
They did.
And then go back and be yotzei the chiyuv.
So why would, tell me something, Avi.
They
tell me something.
Otherwise they wouldn't be able to repeat it.
Well, tell me something.
They're not going back to do benching. They're going back to
So I wanted to ask you this. What do you think they were going to do? If he had let them go forward with it, what were they going to do? What would it have looked like?
Yeah. Only because we attach the two together.
Yes.
But well, you look at the source. The source is Havu Hashem Gadol Elokeinu. It's just to make God great. It doesn't say what specifically you have to say.
No, it's related to the
Let's not get into that. Why they didn't
talk about figure it out?
That's a good point.
Really, that's exactly what.
No, no. I think the response that they got was no. It's not. You don't need an Adam Gadol in order to do Zimun. Pick one. Pick somebody. Pick somebody to do it. No, no. Somebody can't. No, no, no. They were corrected by someone else.
Invitation for what?
No, no. It says that. It says that. What's his name? Maremar. Maremar told them you guys did the wrong thing.
They all benched separately
instead of doing a Zimun because they couldn't pick one. And then Maremar said, "You guys didn't do Zimun. You should have done Zimun." Meaning, you thought you didn't have a chiyuv to do Zimun because you didn't have the greatest.
But you did,
and you failed to do it. And don't go back and do it again. Now, Avi thinks that they were going to go back and just say, "Rabbi Sainav Arech, Yishem Hashem Barach Neilam Ve."
It's Yishem Hashem Barach Neilam Ve.
So, and then stop.
That's the concept of Zimun. Yishem Hashem is to bring Godol Elokeinu.
So you think they wouldn't have benched again? That's what you think?
By having a meal, you're creating a chashivas.
Does anybody else think that they wouldn't have benched again? You think they would have benched again? I think that's the Pashut reading, meaning they're not going to just do the Zimun and then.
But that would have been a brachah of Atzala.
So what's the Havamina? That's my point. What's the Havamina? They were going to go back and bench again? They're going to go back and bench again?
Kind of redundant. I mean, like. It seems like they blew it. They could have blew it.
They did blow it, but they had a havamina that maybe
they could go back.
They should go back and they should do it again.
But that's also
it's like you missed out something that you were supposed to say. You have to go back and do it again, right? But is that normally how
the Havamina is? The Havamina is the connection between Zimun and Birkat HaMazon.
Yes.
Does Birkat HaMazon count without Zimun if you had a Chiyuv of Zimun?
Right. Good. Okay. So that's what I want to talk a lot about today. But okay, so now let's move on to the Makorah. I mean, they certainly. No, they would have to wash again. Does everybody have sheets? There should be enough. How many people? I made 15 sheets. I made 15 sheets, so there should be enough.
If you don't do Muslim, then your breakfast on Muslim is like not valid.
15
That's what you need to go back and do it again. That's what your intention
is. That, and let me ask you something, has anybody ever thought of the, of Zimun and Birkat HaMazon being as inseparable as, let's say, as Meir pointed out, Ritzei and Birkat HaMazon, or I would say, let's say, V'tein Talu Matel Levracha and Shmona Esrei?
No, right?
It's different concepts.
I would have thought altogether totally different,
yeah,
right? Different. So let's see what...
related to what Avi said before, earlier on he said it's two different mitzvot. It's Zimun and then...
So then the question becomes, what's the Havamina?
Where does the Mishnah get the mitzvah from? Which passage do they learn it from? That's like the excuse why you have three. Is that the excuse why you do Zimun?
It's a good question. The Mishnah doesn't really seem to attach. Doesn't seem. You're right. It doesn't seem to.
That's benching.
The Gemara doesn't seem to attach it to benching. You're right. You're right. The Gemara doesn't seem to attach it to benching. Okay.
On the second page?
We're gonna look at the Makaros. So we're gonna look at a few Rambams first. Before we look at the Rambam, I want to point out a Rashi on the Gemara. One second. The first Rashi in the Mishnah. Shlosha Shachlu, right? Shlosha Shachlu Lizman Lizdamein Yachad the Tziruf Bracha Belashon Rabim Kugon Nevarech. Is Rashi, embellishing things a little bit here? Does he really need to tell us this? He could have said anything over here. What is he?
He's implying that it's part of benching because he's changing the whole way that you bench is Belashon Rabim. So you're changing the actual nature of the benching.
Very good. So that's that's exactly what Ivy said. It was what I wanted to investigate and to explore. That, no, very good. That Rashi kind of implies Zimun. The point of Zimun is so that you can say Rabosai Nevarich, so that you can turn it into some kind of joint plural thing.
But it's plural and also singular. If you think that you've got no benefices.
Benching in general. No, we don't change the matbeah shel bracha.
I'm trying to think whether it's in the plural in the first place.
Sure. Almost all philos are plural, I would say this one is not plural. No, there is plural.
And then you got v'achalta v'zavata.
It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. It's not that. Okay. So the first Rambam that we're going to look at is this. Shlosha shaflu pas ke'echad chayav nevarech birkat hazimun kodem birkat hamazon. Rambam is giving us the Seder Advarim, how things work.
You said Chayenu. We said
Chayenu,
right?
Rambam's used
a lot of Chayenu.
I'm confused now. you can't put me on the spot like that. It's too simple.
It says chayinu, and you just said chayinu because it says two yuds.
You're right.
Chayinu.
So the Rambam kind of gives us the way that things work, right? But before even that, let's look at the second Rambam, and he's going to give us more of a klali type of. Good. More of a klali thing about brachot in general. Okay? Kol ha-shomea bracha min ha-brachos mitchilata v'yad sofa v'nitkaven l'tzeit ba'yidei chovato yatsa v'af al pi shalo ana amen. What's this principle? The idea here over here, is, I'll translate, is that if you hear a bracha from the beginning to the end from somebody else and you add kavana to be yotze your obligation of, let's say, saying the bracha, or whatever obligation that the bracha is being said about, you're yotze, even if you don't say amen. Okay, what's this called? Shomea ka'ona. Very good, Mayor. This is the principle of shomea ka'ona. Shomea ka'ona means hearing is like answering. And if hearing is like answering, then you don't even need to say amen, because it's like something. It's like fill the blank. So I'll give you the short version. Massive machlokas Rashi and Tosos about Shomea Ka'ona. Is Shomea Ka'ona, does that mean that, like Tosos says, that when the other person says it and I hear it, it's like I said it? It's like I did it? Or is it more like Rashi says that it's Shlichut, he did it for me? Is it like I said it myself without saying it? Like I attached myself to him? Or is it he said it for me and I just acquire the benefit of him saying it?
What's a nafkamina?
Big, huge, big fat nafkamina.
In the middle of
Shmona Esrei, and the Chazan is saying Kedusha. Do you stop, everybody agrees you stop. Do you stop and have Kavana to be Yotze with everybody else responding to the Chazan? Or do you stop and have some kind of, I was never really sure what the other option was. But basically, can you be Yotze Kedusha during your Shmona Esrei? According to Tosfos, who says that you attach yourself to the other person, it's like you did it. The answer is no, you shouldn't. Why? Because it's Avsek. Because it's like you stop.
One, no.
What's Avdala?
If you listen to Avdala in Shul, can you go home and make Avdala, even if you don't say Amen to it?
No,
that
shouldn't
you
be
have negative
it shouldn't,
kavana.
Shouldn't be. Oh no, no.
You
certainly
negative.
Couldn't do it again for yourself, but right. According to neither one would you be allowed to.
According to neither.
You have to have kavana to be yotze, but you theoretically could still go home and make kavana and make havdalah again, because of afal pisha yatza motzi. There's a principle that because kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh, you can make brachot for other people. This works for mitzvos for sure. Whether it works for brachos on food is not clear. That's good. So the two problems with the wife problem. Remember, we're getting really far afield. There are two problems if it's only your wife at home. One is that she might not be chayav in havdalah or chayavet in havdalah at all. And the other problem is that according to some Rishonim, women are not actually included in Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh for technical reasons. This became a big fat machloket for another issue, the opposite of Havdalah, for Kiddush. Why is this an issue for Kiddush? Because the men go to shul and they hear Kiddush in shul, and then the men come home, and the women do have, according to everybody, a d'oraita chiyuv of Kiddush. So can men come home and be motzi women? On the one hand, they were yotzei, but we said we don't care that they're yotzi because we have af bishi yatzamotzi. But on the other hand, the women might not be involved in our Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, in which case, if he was yotzei, he doesn't have any way to be motzi them, but we're not talking about that right now.
Sorry.
So,
let's go back to the Kedusha.
The Rambam says here that when it comes to Shomei Kona, you don't need to say Amen. It's good enough to just listen. Then he continues. V'chol ha'one Amen acharam b'varich, harei zikim b'varich, v'hushi yam b'varich chayev b'otah bracha. And then he says even further, though, if you say Amen, it's as though you were Mavarech. V'hushi yam b'varich chayev b'otah bracha. Presumably, what is the Rambam adding here? In other words, what do you not have if you didn't say Amen? What do you get if you don't say Amen? What do you merit if you don't say Amen? He said, you're Yotze, right? So what do you gain by saying Amen?
Super Yotze.
Well, what did the Rambam say you gained? Is there any difference between if you...
Like the Mavar.
Ah, good. The Rambam says if you say Amen, then...
So he holds
like Rashi. Sounds like he holds like Rashi, right? That's Pashas reading of like Rashi, that if you don't say Amen, then you're not really... although he also kind of holds like Tosfos, in other words, if you do say Amen, then you're like Tosfos.
Yes, yes.
But that's... Okay, fine. Right. Well, but Matthew's pointing out is that the Rambam says that if you don't say Amen, then you just acquire a regular version of Shomei Kona, which is like Rashi, that it's like... Not like you said it, but that you are Yotze. You're Yotze, he did your job for you. Whereas if you say Amen, it's like you're like the Mavarich, which sounds like Tosos's version of Shomei Kona.
Does that imply there's no difference between saying Amen and saying it yourself?
Maybe. But v'hu shehiyah ha v'hu shehiyah Mavarich chayev bota bracha. I would say another nafkamin over here would be, I told you, Shomei Kona normally would work even off a pishiyatza motzi. In other words, if you have kavana and that's all it takes, then even if the person doesn't have a chiyuv, you can be Yotze that way. Over here, the Amen will only work, why? And it makes perfect sense that the Amen will only work this way. The Amen will only work if the Mavarich is actually chayev in the mitzvah. And then you become the Mavarich. Why does that make perfect sense? Because if you're becoming the Mavarich, then if he didn't have a chiyuv, then what? You didn't, then it's like, you didn't, that no, you became
I'll
something that...
I would say it's more problematic in terms of Tosfot, because if he doesn't have a chiyuv, he can't be a shaliach.
That was Rashi. No, so I'm saying over here the Mavari. Oh, if he doesn't have a chiyuv, he can.
As if you're saying yourself, is it?
No, so the way that Shomei Kona works is probably Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, let's say. But in other words, you're using him to be Yotzi.
I said it myself. What's the difference
whether
he's got a chiyuv to say it? As if I'm saying it myself.
I hear what you're saying.
It's for you.
Okay.
You
I hear what you're saying. Okay. Fine. But either way, I wanted to show that the Rambam has two versions of what you could do when a person says a bracha in order to, let's say, fulfill your obligation. Now here's where it gets interesting. Third halacha on the page. V'yachakach, this is talking about benching. This is talking about zimun. V'yachakach omer baruch atah Hashem alkinim ha'cholam azana tolam kolob tovo ad shegomer haba brachos v'hein onin amen achar kol bracha u'bracha. Anybody have anything to say about this?
Why do they need to say Amen?
Why do they need to say Amen? In other words, by the way, according to the Rambam, it's every single bracha, and it sounds like, you know, maybe they're not even actually saying the bracha. So according to the Rambam, it sounds like nobody else is saying the bracha except for them is
Amen.
Why do they have to say Amen? Why can't they just listen?
That might be a justification for the guy to go back and do the Zimun Lamafren, because he would be motzi the guy.
Let's just stay in the Rambam for now. The question that I'm asking right now is, why is it when it comes to Zimun, the Rambam restricts us from doing Shomei Kona?
Zimun doesn't take away your chiyuv to bench for yourself, and therefore to say Amen, it has to be as if you said it. So you have to say Amen after each bracha.
That's an interesting idea.
Because your chiyuv is still in benching.
But what is this about the Zimun at all?
That's an interesting idea. In other words, you have to kim b'varech. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But why? How do you learn anything from Zimun about this?
This is talking about Zimun. What?
Why?
This one? I'm telling you, in context, it's talking about Zimun.
Okay.
Second bezin. Right. You see, the look, I'll tell you why. Because this is halacha beis. This is halacha beis, and this is talking about zina. I should have put it in a better order. Apologize. You find this though. You find this elsewhere. Look in the next Rambam. Seder tefilas atzibur kachu b'shachar kol ha'am yoshem mishaliach tzibur yored lifnei ateva ba'omer b'emtza ha'am u'matzchel ba'omer kaddish v'chol ha'am onin amen. When it comes to kaddish, everybody has to say amen. Yehi shmei rabba mevarach le'olam amei omayah v'kol kochan v'onin amen b'sof kaddish v'achkech omer barach v'et Hashem mevarach v'hinom mevarach v'et Hashem mevarach le'olam v'et u'matzchel u'paris al shema b'kol ram v'hem onin amen achar kol barach u'bracha. All these amens. And you might not have thought about it, but why do I have to say amen? Shomei ka'una. Why do I have to say amen to anything?
Well, it could still be better to say amen.
Maybe, but why does he force you to?
Maybe that's an integral part of the
zimah. Okay.
So you're together?
Good. Okay, so now... So I thought what Avi said was very nice. What Avi said was very nice. Avi said... That Kim Avarich is the point that you want to be attaching yourself bodily to the guy by saying Amen. It's like you're making the bracha. Okay, very nice. Then I guess what leaves to be desired though is so then why don't we just make the bracha yourself? In other words, why does it have to be that Zimun according to the Rambam? Let's say why is this one guy doing it for everybody?
You don't have Rambam. You want the element of Rambam also.
You want the element of Rov Am. Is that really the element of Rav Am?
Why do you do Zimun at all?
That's a good question.
To give Hashivas to Godel Elokein.
Right.
No, that's...
The Zimun, in general, the Zimun really has a part at which it stops. Okay, fine. You know what, let's see what the Rav has to say about it. There's Rabbi Soloveitchik over here in his Rishimus. This actually says it in a few different places. This is in his notes on the Gemara Brachos, the notes that people wrote down from his Shirim, but you can find it in a few other of his writings, and he says this principle. Hulafiza, Yesh lomer demishum hachi diktek haRambam hidgish. The Rambam was adamant. Shetzrichim lanot amein achar kol bracha ubracha beberkat hamazon bezimun. He says, because when it comes to Zimun, there is no Shemeya Ka'ona. You might have thought, what are you doing when you do Zimun? The Mezamein, right, is making the brachot. According to the Rambam, the Mezamein makes all the brachot. So just listen to him, and you're Yotzi, your Chiyuv of Birkata Mazon, through the Mezamein. Shemeya Ka'ona, that's what you thought, that's what you would, if I was, that's really the only model in halacha that I have. Right? If when I'm approaching benching, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. This one guy is making a bracha, and I'm not going to bench. I'm just going to listen to him bench. I only have one model in Torah to know what's going on, and that's Shomei Kona. So I'm confused. If I'm doing Shomei Kona, then why am I saying Amin?
Because you have a chiyuv on the benching.
Because of. So I'm yotzei with him.
That's what I said before. I mean, what Rav Soloveitchik is saying here is that Shomei Ka'ona doesn't apply to Zimun.
Good. So what?
Because it's a separate chiv to benching.
I would use a different word from separate. I would use a different word from separate. I would say different. Not separate in that, like, you know, there are two different parts that eventually come together, but in that there's one type and then there's another type, as we're going
to
see.
The essence of a Muslim is that each person says it together.
What?
You need to have a group of people saying it together.
That's what he's going to say. What do you say?
Benching
is, of course, Daraisa.
Different than every other model of.
Well, no, let's see. Well, it's not going to be the only model. It's not going to be the only one. You're going to see.
Isn't that Shmuel Kohen doesn't supply? Or by saying Amen?
When we do Zimun, we're not. When we do Zimun, let's say, according to the Rambam, where one guy is making the brachot for everybody, and we're Yotze with him, that's not via Shomei Kohen. That's what he's saying. And he's going to show. V'chein pasak legabi tefila, because we see it by tefila as well. Say the tefila satibur kachu, this is what I was quoting for you. When the Shaliach Tzibur, this is really the halacha that I should have put on the page, when the Shaliach Tzibur is saying Chazar Sashatz, right? Which, you look at the end of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it's very clear. Why is the Shaliach Tzibur doing that? We pass, and the reason he's doing that is to be motzi the people who don't know how to bend, who don't know how to do tefillah. That's the pasha pshat of what's going on over there, right? But Rabbi Soloveitchik says, no, it goes a step further. And how do I know it goes a step further? Because if the whole point of Shlich Tzibur doing Chazar Shashatz is just to be yotzi the people that don't know how to do it, then why in the world are they saying
Amen?
Amen. And the Rambam says they have to say Amen. They don't need to say Amen. They just need to listen. And they don't have to answer Amen. Chalot Shem is just a fancy word in Lumdus, which just means a status. It's a special status of Tfilah B'Tzibur. This is a shita of Rabbi Soloveitchik, the famous shita that he felt that Shmona Esrei, the Chazar Tashat, is not just Tfilah B'Tzibur, it's Tfilat HaTzibur. That it's not just that you want to be Yotzei, you know, a second Shmona Esrei, or we do it, you know, to capture the people who are in and Bikiyim, that don't know how to daven, but rather it's actually embedded an extra tefillah that's supposed to be the joint tzibur tefillah. That's how he saw Shmona, the Chazar Sashat. Dainu shokol tzibur mitpalel biyachad. Like Avi was saying, each person ends up saying it himself. Each person is mitzaref to the tefillat ha-tzibur by saying amen. Without saying amen, they're passive. They're not involved. By saying amen, they join in. Ella rak mitkaven mitchila shmonasri v'atzofa eino mitzdarif lechefza shal tefillah satzibur. He's not mitzdarif. V'eini yochel atzeis yedichav asot tefillah midin shomea ka'ona. The din shomea ka'ona echal k'she yachid motzi et ha'yachid. What's shomea ka'ona? You have a chiyuv. I want to be motzi you, your chiyuv. So I say a bracha, and you use me for shlichus. But we have nothing to do with each other. We're not doing something together. So, we're not creating something new. I'm just helping you.
So in theory, in the first Shmona Esrei, not the Chazaras Hashatz.
Right.
Someone standing next to you and answering Amen
in theory,
quietly.
Oh, you don't have to ask Amen.
Listening to you.
In theory.
To be Yotzi him
in
on
theory.
His individual
yeah,
Shmona
Esrei. Theory. I don't know if anybody does that.
I don't know if that's how
theory,
that,
yeah.
But what in principle.
Right.
But for Chazara, Rav Soloveitchik is saying it's
because
a
it's
tefillah
ha tzibur. Omnam betfilah ein yachid yachal hotzi et chavera mishum dehavi kiyum rachamim. He says, but you have tefillah. So actually, you know what? Maybe the answer to this might be no, as he's going to explain why. It might be no. But tefillah ain't a yachad yachal hotzi at chaver b'shem dehavikim rachamim. Ulam but tefillah. Oh, so where is he quoting? Where is he getting that from? So turn the page over for 1 second. Yerushalmi. This is really for Birkat Hamazon, but the same thing applies to tefillah. Tani, kol mitzvos. Oh, now I realize I shouldn't have cut off the thing I cut off. Okay, kol mitzvos sha'adam pater adam motzi at harabim yedei chovatan chutz mi berakat hamazon. Any mitzvah a person has already fulfilled his mitzvah, he's still allowed to be motzi other people yedei chovatan chutz mi berakat hamazon. He can't be motzi other people their chiyuv of berakat hamazon. Vada tanin and kol sheino chayav bedavar ein motzi at harabim yedei chovatan. Ha, imayachayev afilom yotzem motzi. Fine. Amr b'liyeh, shniyo hi birkat hamazon. Why is birkat hamazon different? Dechtiv ba, vechata, v'savata, uvirachta, atashem alkecha. Al haaretz asher, not alkecha. Mi sh'achol hi yivarech. Birkat hamazon is different. Why? Because birkat hamazon, you got the hanat me'ayim, that's how we're saying it. You enjoyed the food, so you need to make the bracha. You can't make the bracha for me. You can't even do shomei ha'kohuna because I need to be the one who says it.
Why is that only applied to bracha hamazon, not brachas, you know?
It's in general brachat hananin, it would be. In other words, as opposed to brachat hamitzvot,
right.
Where, you know, we can say, asher kidshanu mitzvot v'tzivanu, and it's just a bracha. It's not really, you're not doing the mitzvah for the guy. So there you could actually get away with it. But here,
you say hamotzi or something.
You really shouldn't. In general, we shouldn't, but I know sometimes we do. But that's an exception. It's an exception. So Rabbi Soloveitchik is pointing out, I cut off the other part of the Gemara because I didn't understand it. In general, we don't say amotzi for other people, except for certain situations, like on Shabbos. That's a different sugya. It's a different sugya.
If they make amotzi, they're also only the ones who bench. Could that be connected? Because if you're making amotzi for the person, then you bench as well, as a zimun. So the entire process is together.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Like, well, basically, that's a seba. It needs to be like a chabura type of thing. What?
You're only starting to
get one person make a motion, someone else to the bench.
Maybe because you're together.
Right. Well, let's not go down that rabbit hole. That's a different thing. But what I wanted to point out over here is that I cut off a part of the Yerushalmi that I shouldn't have cut off, because the next part of the Yerushalmi actually says
also
that you can't be motzi other people for tefillah, which is strange because what's Chazaras Hashatz? That's what we do. So Rabbi Salvechik jumps in and says, "No, that's right. You can't be motzi other people in tefillah. You can't do shomei ha'kaona even for the tefillah balachash." And what's going on in Chazaras Hashatz? It's something different. It's being motzi other people in their chiyuv of tefillat hatzibur, not their chiyuv of tefillah. Their chiyuv of tefillat hatzibur. So he says, that's why we say amen. And he's going to take this and he's going to, of course, transfer this to
Zimun.
What's Zimun? It's Birkat Hamazon Hatzibur. Like Tfilat Hatzibur. It's a different Birkat Hamazon. It's not a regular Birkat Hamazon. Huh. Here's his proof. Let's say you have two people. One of them knows how to do Birkat HaMazon and one of them doesn't. What do you do? One makes the bracha for the other one, which he shouldn't be allowed to do according to Yerushalmi, right? But why is he allowed to do it? Because if he was really doing it in the regular case as Shomea Keona, then the other guy doesn't have to say amen. But the Rambam says he has to say amen.
But wait, what if they were just two people?
What about if they were just two people?
If Birkat HaMazon.
This is two people. This is two people. This is two people. It's not a Zimun. It's not a Zimun. What?
He has to say amen to take
the
concept of Shomei Kona.
Right.
So if you don't know Brocha, right, I could say it and you listen and that's it. Listening's enough. Because of Shomei Kona.
But if
there were three. Birkas HaMazon specifically doesn't work as Shomei Kona. And therefore you have to say Amen after each bracha in order for it to actually be you who's. It's as if you're saying the bracha. Which doesn't seem to be needed for Zimun, which is why Zimun has to be something more.
Right. So he says, Mavur, the sofer of Bor, that the smart person and the ignorant person. Because only there, I'll go outside, only there do you have the chalot shem of Birkat HaMazon Bechabura, which is the equivalent of Tfilat Hatzibur. And then he has to say, Amen. And it's basically Midin Zimun, basically. It almost sounds like the Rambam says that you can have a Zimun with two people. Almost like that.
He's only saying that because Shomei Kona doesn't apply.
He says Shomei Kona can't apply here.
What have you argued? I mean, that's a universal.
You can't, because that's what Yerushalmi is saying. That's what Yerushalmi is saying, and that's what the Rambam is based on.
We have
what?
We have Tfilat Yachid, and then we have this Tfilat Hatzibur.
Correct.
Whereas in Benching here, we're only doing it once.
Yes, that's
not
true.
Maybe not. Maybe if we go back to our friends in the Gemara, that's what they were thinking. They were thinking, you like Rav Soloveitchik, but they've done it individually, and there's a completely separate meaning of the Hatzibur that they can go back and redo.
Right.
Like, get up.
Look at the second side of the page. He continues after Yerushalmi. What's the havamina that they will go back and make another Birkat HaMazon? That's for sure not Zimun. What were they thinking they were going to do? They're going to make a Birkat HaMazon. They weren't going to make it. What are they doing? There are two dinim in Birkat HaMazon. One is Chalot Kiyum Birkat HaMazon D'Yachid. Like we've been talking about. The regular Birkat HaMazon that if I eat some food, I need to say myself. Chalot ki, and the second is Chalot Kiyum Birkat HaMazon Bezimun. She Kiyum the Birkat HaMazon Bechabura. Vesalka Deita Chamina Da'af Bishakfar Kiyumu Mitzvot Birkat HaMazon D'Yachid. Even though they definitely were Mekayim, the Mitzvah Birkat HaMazon D'Yachid, the regular one. Yachzur v'yizamnu v'yivarchu shuv pam shenit berkat hamazon v'zimun kedei l'kayim et kiyum berkat hamazon v'chabura. They could go back and they could do the whole thing over again. Kedei l'kayim, not zimun, not so that they could say nevarich, but so that they could do the whole thing, which is a totally, it's a different bracha almost. The berkat hamazon is a different berkat hamazon.
Why would you do it the other way around?
You'd have thought they'd be either.
What do you mean the other way around?
If you do it with a zimun.
That they should go back and do individual one?
Okay. You'd have thought they'd be either or, not both.
No, I guess they're saying the zimun is the higher one.
Compare it to davening. Yeah. You can daven be yechidus, and then you can daven ba'at zibur. It's exactly the same concept. They're saying, we benched on our own, let's go back and do it again.
You still have to say it again yourself. Right. Yeah. Right. So,
it's a great parable.
No, because he's saying you don't.
Two separate chiyuvim.
You don't do both.
He's saying, why don't we bench first and then do with Zima? That's what he's saying.
That's what they wanted to do.
Because Birkat HaMazon is a little bit different, that once they sit down together, they're now chayav not in the regular Birkat HaMazon. They're not chayav in that one. They're chayav in the one Bechabura.
So is he saying then, if you don't say Amen?
Well, that was the Havimina. That was the Havimina, because what he ends up saying is that Kamash Malan, in the end, ain't Zima the Mafreya, that even after they did it without the Zima, they can't go back and do it again. But nevertheless, the Havimina itself is telling that they have even thought that they could do that.
There's obviously a nuance in it. It's a different chiv that you can only be mekayim your chiv of v'achalta v'svachta v'rachta. The chiv of zimun is not the same as the chiv of v'achalta v'svachta v'rachta. Once you've done that kiyum once, you can't.
In the end, yeah, but the avid, meaning that's the kamash balan, that you can't go back and do it. But the idea of zimun is that the benching that you're going to do now with zimun is not the same benching that you do when you do it by yourself. It's a benching of zimun, and the zimun benching is as different from the regular benching as the tefillah tatzibur is from your regular tefillah. It's just different. It's a different chatzah. I think we normally think of birkat hamazon with zimun as birkat hamazon with the zimun attached to the beginning, appended to the beginning, that we add a new dimension or something. But he's suggesting, what the Rav is saying, is that, no, it's just, it totally is a different benching. There's benching, and then there's human benching. And they're not the same.
But they're not both required either.
When you eat, you don't have to do both. It's almost like the Zeman benching is a superset of the, yeah. Let's do a little bit of halacha. And I think you'll be surprised to see how this actually comes out. Shulchan Aruch says, this is the first siman on the first sif in the siman on Zimun. Shtayim shachlu af mishabirkat hamotzi poter echad et chaveiro. You could be motzi another person. Mitzvah lechalik sheivarech kol echad birkat hamazon atzmo. You really should separate. Vameh adarim amarim kshayu shneim yodim levarech birkat hamazon. That's assuming that they both know. Avam echad yodea v'asheni einu yodea. Mevarech hayodea v'yotze asheni im meibin lashon hakodesh al sheinu yodea levarech. It doesn't. V'tzarech lechaben mila b'mila l'chol mashi omri. He says the opposite. He says shomei ha'kaone. Yes, which is also important because so he's actually straddling the fence here, actually, as we're going to see, because in shomei ha'kaone you don't need to understand. Look in the Bir Halach over here on the bottom. The Bir Halach, the second to last.
Just, what happens if the person benching doesn't understand you? He knows the words, he doesn't understand what you're saying, which is very common.
The person benching doesn't understand the word you're saying. So as long as he's saying it in Lashon Kodesh, that's always going to be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's always going to be fine.
So you're going to suggest that.
Yeah. The question is, if a person doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh and he's listening, then you get on the border. But you know what? You know what? It's strange, this Shulchan Aruch, because if you look in the Bir Halacha, he says, "Hine din adam mechaber ari b'shnayim v'chanal," talking about with two people. "Ulinyan shlosha mechad yochel lahotzi shnayim yesh deot bein haposkim didat birkat Avraham da'afilu didat mechaber hainu davka b'yachid hamotzi liyachid." This is only talking about when one person is trying to be motzi another person. But, ava bezimun, Shlosha she'echad motzi l'shnayim or ba'asara she'echad motzi l'shisha afilu einam avinim yachin motzi et harabim. When it comes to zimun, you don't even need to understand Lashon HaKodesh. V'atiku harbe achronim, that's how actually we paskin, basically, the Be'er Halacha says. He says he thinks even the Shulchan Aruch agrees with that. Why would that be? Why would that be? Because it's not midin. Shomei Akona, it's Shomei Akona. You need to understand what the other person is saying. This is not Shomei Akona when you do Zimun. That's something else.
Do you need to answer Amen?
What? Ah, so do we need to understand under answer Amen? Good.
Yeah, if it's not answer Amen, then it's
so. So let's see. Let's find out if you have to. Let's find out if you have to answer Amen. So the Ramah glosses over here. That's okay. That's obvious. Aval imenu mevin eni yotze b'shmiya. Aval gimel. It almost sounds like eni yotze b'shmiya. But if he were to say Amen, then maybe he would be yotze. Aval gimel shachlu eni m'shaim lechalik. But three people that eat can't separate. V'shnayim shachlu mitzvah shiachzu achar shlishi shiistar from hand luziman. They should even go running after somebody to be mitzayreif. V'chein arba chamisha asur lehem shlechalik shekulim nitchayvu b'zimun shisha nechlakim. If you have three, four, or five, you can't split. Why? Because anybody who splits is not going to have a Zimun. If you had six, you can split because then you have three and three. Fine.
Should you split?
It doesn't sound like either way.
But afterwards it goes in groups of ten.
Yeah.
Between six and ten, you're okay. At ten, you can't split because you'll lose the minions.
Yeah, correct. He says, "Imirtu." V'nir li du adin b'shisha im mechuyavim lechalek. Rak imirtu nechlakim. Kevin shenitchayvu behiskar Hashem u'mitzvah lechazor achar asar. That's why you have to try to get ten. Umiu by the underline. Umiu. Imayu rabim besuvim yachad. V'ena michalim b'shma berkat hazimun v'piyam mevarich. What if you have a bunch of people sitting on the table, but it's in a restaurant? It's very loud. And let's say it's 10 people. But you can't hear the person who's saying the bracha. The person is mezamen. Ve'ina mishayim lechalek lahabura shalasar minei shitzdarchu levayach b'kol ram v'yishma bala bayis v'yakpid aleihem. And they can't break into smaller groups of, let's say, 10, and then maybe they would be able to hear. Maybe, you know, 100 people and they're not going to be able to hear, so they thought maybe we'll break up into tens. So he says, yicholim lechalek lahabura shal gimel gimel levayach b'nachas kedei shal yishma bala bayis. They can break into smaller groups because then they can keep it quiet, and then the other person, then the balabais won't be bothered. But he has you breaking the ten.
Yeah.
Right? You're breaking the ten. V'zet tov lehem mimasha lo yetzu yidei chovas berkat hazimun sharei einam yicholim lishmoa mipi hamabarach. So what does the Shulchan Aruch think? He thinks that you can break up these groups so that you can hear, make sure to hear the
ability to hear it is more important than having the chashivas of 10 versus 3.
Right.
And the social interaction that comes in between that, which is also fascinating.
Right.
He's saying socially, not to offend the balabais, he's happy for you to take 3 instead of 10.
So now look at the Mishnah Berurah over here. Birkat HaZimun. Aval im hayu yuchal mishmom birkat HaZimun, lo hayu rishayim lechalik. V'chanal, if they could hear the Birkat HaZimun, of course they wouldn't be allowed to separate. V'achonim cholk moze. Mishum d'nehi d'kayim olam b'semen kuf pe gimol. It's true. Da'id n'mavarchin kol echad mihamasubin kol Birkat HaMazon b'lachash. Nowadays, we don't do this. Nowadays, everybody says all the brachos, meaning you go to somebody's house and somebody does the Zimun. We don't do like the Rambam says. It's not one person benches for everybody. It's that person does something, we'll get to in a second. But everybody really says their own, right? Says, it's true we do that. Mikol makom, and here's what you have to see. Mikol makom, tzrichim lishmo heitev, gam ledivri hamavarech. V'lomar imo b'lachash, kol milo mila v'lanot, amein, akol bracha u'bracha. Nevertheless, everybody needs to hear the mavarech and say amein. Even though you do say your own, you need to say amein for the mavarech. At least ad hazan et hakom. Even if you're not going to listen to all four brachos, you need to at least say amen to the hazan. You don't. You need to at least say amen to the hazan.
I never heard anyone doing all four.
Some people say
all the time.
Three.
Is that amen?
All four.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say out the bracha at the end.
Yeah. This is the Mishnah Berurah. He says, "Ad azana teko b'vaday tzrichim hazin gamal divan v'rachta ad sham hu birkat hazimon kedila kamen, because that's birkat hazimon. V'im kain, afim yichol nishma birkat hazimon pi'am mevarich, koshein yichol nishma mila b'mila mipi'am mevarich ad hazana teko mutav lahem lechalek gimel ulevarich below shem mashalo yetu klal yedechovat zimon medina." In other words, if you're choosing an option between sitting with three people and not hearing the bracha of the mevarich and just sitting by yourself, what's better? To just say the bracha by yourself. Why? Because if you're sitting in a zimun and you're not going to hear the bracha of the mevarich and say amen, you're not doing zimun. In which case, you're just the whole thing. In which case, why is it so bad? Because of the principle of the rav. Because that was benching, and you're not doing it. Your benching is done through the mevarich, and you're not doing it.
What about the other two? So imagine you're sitting there, you don't hear, or you're not hearing. It would have been better that you did it by yourself. In the meantime, the other two thought they were in a zimun with you.
No, they were doing this Zimun Pol trick. You know, they say you're doing it or you're not doing it. But this is an astonishing chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. It's better to daven individually. Then to bench individually, then to bench in the zimun without hearing the mevarich.
Because you can't withdraw.
But if the choice is you're not going to hear the mevarich, or you're going to bench individually, you bench individually, because if you're benching as a zimun and you're not hearing the mevarich, you're not doing zimun, which means it's as though you're not benching.
So what happens? Tachlis, you start to bench the mezuman, and then the mevarich doesn't say the bracha. It's very common.
Yes, it's very common.
So what do you do?
Now, people don't say the bracha.
Not good. It's not good.
It's not good, but what do you tachlis do?
You continue. Of course you continue saying
that. So be careful when you're benching. To bench your table, at least to say that first bracha.
Yeah.
Got to say the
first one. You have to give it to a person who has a loud voice. Interesting thing. Agav, I pointed at Alone, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have any of this. Sfardim don't need to hear the first bracha. I have a best friend who bedavka walks out first bracha. Doesn't this?
Another person is just having a
Yeah.
Force
them
to join the bench.
Yeah.
Then what do they have to answer for?
What do you mean?
How's that even work?
He listens to the bracha and he says amen to the first bracha. That's what we do.
How's that even work?
What do you mean? How does that work? I think it makes perfect sense with everything we've been saying.
Why?
If we thought of benching with a zimun as just being zimun with benching, then it makes no sense. Then it makes no sense, because this guy doesn't need to bench. But if the idea is that these three people who are actually of varying levels of benching at least, but they're getting together, then it makes perfect sense, right? It's the equivalent of somebody who already sits one esrei, right, and is part of the tefillah tatzibur. It's similar to that, which you can do. We don't, because the Gemara says Birkat Hazimun ad Matai. It's only the first bracha. That's how we paskin. I think you paskin, not even. You paskin, it ends with Nevarich, and we paskin, it ends with Hazan. We paskin that Zimun ends with Hazan. You paskin, Zimun ends with Nevarich.
That's a kula. Should be all four.
Should be all four.
The Gemara said that. The Gemara said it stops at Hazan. I wanted to just look at one last thing with you guys. There goes Moshe Feinstein. I don't know if this can fit in. You can tell me. Moshe Feinstein here is dealing with an interesting shaila. I never asked this shaila, but I saw this every single week for a few years. Bein and Shmias Havdalah al Yidei telephone. Hearing Havdalah through the telephone. Veisha anim tzeit beit cholim hinei imia. So I had a cousin, Aunt Judy, who was a widow. So she would call my house every Motzei Shabbos so that she could hear my father saying Havdalah, and she would answer Amen to my father on the telephone. Because there's a question about whether women are chayiv in Havdalah, so it might be a bracha levatala. Women in general don't like making Havdalah. In fact, I was once called over to make Havdalah for a Shabbos Kala. which was an interesting experience because I was an eligible bachelor at the time. So it was between me and my brother. My brother having been already married, and me. So my family decided that it should be me to go over. Nothing came of that. But there was something I wanted.
It was great Abdullah.
It was the best Abdullah he's ever made.
But there was another thing where one time I was on a date and a girl told me that that at a Shabbos challah, a separate one, a different one, where they didn't call a guy over, and this is why you should always call a guy over for the Shabbos challah. The girls were sitting around and they decided, you know what, we can make Abdullah. So one of them gets to make Abdullah. And what, you know, how does Abdullah start, right?
She drank it.
And to all the other girls' horror, she drinks the cup. And they're all just stunned. Nobody stopped her.
She's never going to get married.
And she didn't realize, because who would realize if you've never done it before, right? It's the equivalent of, you know, a Shal Shudis, when a person, after benching, you know, you make the high geffen, and the right, person, right. And you have to, no! You know, you stop the person from drinking what's essentially the Havdalah kos.
You don't make the bracha, do you?
No, you don't make the bracha. Right? But, you know. So anyways, so here, Rav Moshe is dealing with the question of, can you be yotze, or can you say amen, to a bracha on Havdalah made over the telephone? So he says, good. The Rav Moshe is of the interesting shita that he thinks that you can be yotze kriyas megillah through a speaker or through a microphone or through a telephone even. What?
Through Skype.
Yeah, I guess so. Through Skype. Has to be live. Rav Moshe, Rav Avadia, almost all the Israeli poskim are against. What?
Is very different.
From what?
Telephone?
Very different. Not according to emotion. Not according to emotion.
It's picking up multiple different packets and putting them together.
It doesn't matter. Not according to emotion. It's not any different. It's not different from a microphone according to emotion. The machlokas by all the stuff is whether or not you care that it's not the person's voice. Everybody agrees that it's not the person's voice in the same sense. So Rav Moshe, that's what all the Israeli posts are. Rav Moshe of Shlomo Zalman said, so Rav Avadia says that's what the Shulam, almost all the Israeli posts say it's not okay. But Rav Moshe and the Chazanish didn't think it was a problem. Rav Moshe's argument was that your voice is not your voice. Rav Moshe says your voice is not your voice. Even when I hear you right now, I'm not hearing anything. That it's a vibrations through the air. There's no connection between what I hear and what came out of your mouth. It's all vibrations. He says, my high, what's the difference if it's vibrations through the air or whether it's digital or whatever? That's Rav Moshe's shita. He doesn't care about that part of the Matthias. So Shlomo Zalman said no, that he thinks that it does make a difference. Rav Avadia is very adamant that that it does make a difference. But either way, he thinks that it doesn't make a difference, and so he allows it. But Mishum Dekol Mitzvah, he says, V'wa din gabi havdala, Mishum Dekol Mitzvah dibor b'chol hu kemegillah. Levad kriyashma obirkat hamazon. He says, but you can't do this with kriyashma obirkat hamazon. Shetzarach limchot b'elu arotzim latzeit b'microphone, and you have to stop them. Shalachen kevin shi'av shalai shmo havdala b'beit acholim. Okay. He says, that you can't do. And I don't see over here an explanation for why. For why? Why can't you? So I was wondering whether it fit into this whole subject about Birkat HaMazon not being via Shemek Kohanim. Exactly.
It's got nothing to do with hearing it. It's the fact that right. by saying Amen
or something
it's
like
as if
that.
You've done
something
it
like that. Almost like Rav Moshe says you can only do Shomei HaKohanim via the telephone, but you can't do whatever it is.
Why does it work when you say Amen? Why does it work?
So we said before that it was Kim Avarech. That's what the Rambam
says.
Why?
Because the guy is conscious. When you say Amen, the other guy hears you say Amen. And therefore, there's nothing about whether he hears you.
I don't think
you.
So. I think it's the activeness. But over here, it doesn't matter because actually, the person even could say the reason why I have trouble with this is because he could say Amen over the telephone. Unless maybe you don't say Amen. Maybe the Amen doesn't do anything. I don't know.
But Birkat HaMazon is maybe an easier example than Kriyat Shema, because Birkat HaMazon, clearly it's not talking about a Zimun. You're in a different place. Right? It's someone who's eating themselves. They've got their own chiv to make their bracha. Why?
Right.
Why? Where's the havamina that someone else should make it for them?
Unless they
Unless it's someone.
In general, you can't, right? In general, you can't be motzi other people.
Why do you have to have proximity for Kriyat Shema?
No, no, you can't be motzi other people in Kriyat Shema. It's the same thing like.
You're saying the issue is the proximity.
I'm saying because in Birkat Hamazon, you've eaten, you've got the. It's not talking about sin, it's talking about.
You're doing it over 10 minutes, remote.
Yeah, you're going to say over there, they're going to make for you. It's like weird, it doesn't even. You would, why would you think that someone else should be able to eat?
Krishma
is slightly trickier. I'm saying it's harder to put that sort of love.
He thinks it's because of Shemek Kaya, you think it's because of proximity.
No, he's saying.
It doesn't make sense because it may be a different time zone. Krishma is specifically related to time.
It would be able to do it through a microphone. It's the same thing. Anyway, I think what the most important thing that we learned today, aside from the actual halacha that one must try to hear. The mezamein, and if you're the mezamein, you need to say at least the first bracha out loud, and try to get everybody to say amen, which is something that people are somewhat lax on. But the idea is now we also know what's behind that. What's behind that is the idea that Birkat HaMazon, when it's a zimun Birkat HaMazon, is different. It's a different chefza. It's the equivalent of Tfilat HaZimun, at least in the thought of the Rebbe. Yashikoyach.